أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. أفلح من صلى على محمد وآل محمد. Brothers and sisters, wherever you are, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On behalf of the Light of Guidance and the Zainabia Center, I welcome everybody, thank everybody for joining us in whatever capacity that you're able, and I offer my sincerest condolences to you all and to the entire Muslim Ummah, to all of the ulama and the maraja and the leader, on the anniversary of the martyrdom of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, his family and his companions. Inshallah, before we begin the program, we will have a recitation of the Quran by Brother Ali Abbas after a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الملك القدوس السلام، السلام المؤمن المهيمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر، سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور، له الأسماء الحسنى، يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض، وهو العزيز الحكيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
If you walked outside your house and saw thousands of people running in one direction, how would you react? Would you run blindly behind the herd, not knowing whether you're following the right or wrong path? Be honest. You know yourself best. Would you follow them and quickly repeat their acts, not knowing in what direction you're moving, who you're following, or what tracks? Answer this and you'll know where you truly would have stood in Karbala if you were sent back. We all know how hard it is to resist peer pressure. Some of us follow the crowd, whether it makes us good doers or transgressors. Some of us change our stances, like the changing of the weather. You know how the old saying goes, birds of the same feather flock together. So does it make sense now how thousands pledged allegiance to Hussein and betrayed him to his oppressors? For Yazid and his team, men of luxury, brutality, and greed, knew just what to do to bring the Kufans to their knees. They knew how society works, that one following another becomes a domino effect that can't be stopped, and that each person has something that makes them tick like a clock and like clockwork and precision. Ibn Ziyad had things decided to make the Kufans divided, and all it took was a few gold coins in fear of losing their blood, and they deserted Hussein one by one. But among society, there are those who do not follow the crowd, who follow what is just and sound, like those whose blood and sand was their burial shroud. And ask yourself who their followers are in this generation, now, like those sanctioned, attacked, and slandered for the sake of following the truth. Does anyone in our time embody this for you? They call them terrorist groups, ayatollahs, dangerous, simply because they don't submit to the orders of occupation. Against them, they fabricate false claims after false claims, simply because they thwart imperialist aims. These Yazidis of today, who supposedly call for peace, and when it comes, they revoke the JCPOA, the oppressor that bombs and invades, that supports the Zionist and Saudi terrorists, which create modern Karbalas every day. And just like when Yazid claimed they were disbelievers, fitna makers astray, and so many ignorant people he would persuade to abandon the path of Hussein, the same way today, the enemies of truth tried to take us away, slander and defame the path of the one descended from Khomeini, the path of the one from Khorasan, the path of the one from Sistan, and every scholar who teaches us revolutionary and true Islam, that teaches love and peace, but a fierce stance against oppression and its instigators, to disobey them and obey only our Creator. No matter how many ignorant and deviated people from the truth become traitors, there are those who follow proof and not fake news, for the path of Hussein is to follow what is true, and they would die for this path and fight till their last breath. When the later imams were asked why the caliphs of their time they didn't rise against, when the number of Shi'as was greater than the time of Hussein in every sense, and they swore things would be different and they would not betray or abandon, they responded, "No one can be compared to Abu Abdullah's companions." We must recognize that to be with Imam al-Mahdi, we must stand against the Yazidis of 2020 and not lose our souls for fear for our lives, bribes, or money. Let us learn from the people of Kufa's mistake. Let it not be fake this year when we say, Labbaik, Labbaik, Labbaik.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن ينصركم الله فلا غالب لكم وإن يخذلكم فمن ذا الذي ينصركم من بعده وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. If Allah assists you, then there is none that can overcome you, And if he forsakes you, who is there then that can assist you after him? And upon Allah should the believers rely. Brothers and sisters, on a day like this, more than 1,000 years ago, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam stood on the sands of Karbala with a heart full of trust and faith and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a heart devoid of any fear whatsoever from the enemies of Allah. And on a day like this, more than 1,000 years ago, the blood of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn and his family and his companions was spilt upon the lands of Karbala in order to give life to an ummah for generations to come until the day of Qiyamah, inshaAllah. I extend my condolences again to all of the mu'mineen and mu'minat worldwide, to all of the believers, the maraja, the scholars, the mujahideen, the shuhada, to Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman himself. And now, inshaAllah, let us take our hearts to Karbala, to Ashura, with our brother Ali Abu Khidr, after a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء السلام على العيون الغائرات السلام على الشفاه الذابلات السلام على الرؤوس المشالات السلام على الأعضاء المقطعات السلام على النساء المسبيات At the dawn of the 10th day of Muharram, Ali al-Akbar recited his final adhan, and Imam al-Husayn led his followers for morning prayer. Then he wore his grandfather's armor and turban and put on his father's sword. He then stood to address his followers. Starting with the praise of Allah, he said, Inna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qad adhina fi qatli wa qatlikum fi hadha al-yawm fa'alaykum bis-sabr wal-qital. Allah has done destined that you and I shall be killed today. I therefore urge you to be strong and resilient in fighting. Then Abu Abdullah began preparing for war. He mobilized his band to be of 7 members. He made Zuhair ibn al-Qayn the commander of the right flank, and Habib ibn Mazahir the commander of the left flank, and his household in the center. Aba Abdullah then gave the flag to his brother Abbas. The troops gathered in front of the tents where the women and children were housed. Umar ibn Sa'd, the commander of the enemy's army, came with 30,000 troops. He made Amr ibn al-Hajjaj the commander of the right flank, and Shimr ibn Dhil-Jawshan the commander of the left flank. When Aba Abdullah saw their gathering, which was like a torrent, he raised his hands to the sky and prayed, "Oh my Lord, you are my haven in every mishap, my hope in every predicament, my refuge and defender in every ordeal. How many a distress that weakens the heart makes the enemy rejoice at the misfortune, when I entrusted it to you and resorted to you out of preference over others. You did not let me down and had driven away and eliminated all these distressing things. You are the giver of every boon and the ultimate source of every wish to be granted." Then he mounted his horse and stood in front of them ready to speak. He began by saying, "O people, track back my lineage to see who I am. Then look back and think to yourselves. Think about whether it is right for you to kill me and violate my integrity. Am I not the son of your prophet's daughter? Am I not the son of your prophet's successor? Was not Hamza the master of martyrs my uncle? Was not Ja'far my uncle? Have you not heard the Prophet's words concerning my brother and I, that Hassan and Hussein are the masters of the youth of paradise? Whether you believe in what I say or not, even though it is the truth, there are men among you that if you ask them, they will tell you I speak the truth. Ask Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, ask Zayd ibn Arqam and Anas ibn Malik to tell you that they heard these words from the Messenger of Allah in favor of my brother and I. Submit to the authority of your kinsmen," said Qais ibn al-Ash'ath. "They have never treated you badly." Aba Abdullah then said to him, "By God, I will never give you my hand like a humiliated man, nor will I flee like a slave. La wallah la u'tiikum biyadi ata'i al-dhalil, wa la afirru firar al-abid." Aba Abdullah then raised his hands towards the sky and said, "O Allah, give them no rain, afflict them with barren years like the years of Yusuf, and make them slaves to the man from Thaqaf," meaning Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, "for they have labeled us as liars and have let us down. You are our Lord, we rely on you, and to you we return." He then began to plead for help and rescue. When Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi heard his plea for help, he went to Umar ibn Sa'd and asked him, "Are you really going to fight this man?" Umar replied, "Yes, by the Almighty, the kind of fighting in which heads will fall and arms will be cut off." Al-Hur said, "Are you not satisfied with what he has proposed to you?" Umar replied, "If it was up to me, I would accept his proposal, but your master ibn Ziyad has his orders." Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi then stood in the middle of the battlefield, gradually drawing nearer to the camp of Aba Abdullah. One of his companions asked him, "What is he doing?" Al-Hur said, "I'm making a decision between paradise and hellfire. And by Allah, I choose nothing over paradise, even if it means death." Then Al-Hur directed his horse towards Imam Al-Husayn and was saying, "O Allah, forgive me, for I have caused fear in the hearts of your servants and the children of your prophet's grandson." As soon as he reached the Imam asked him who he was. Al-Hur said, I am the one who brought you to this and prevented you from returning to where you came from." The Imam said, "Are you Hur?" Al-Hur said, "Yes, my master. Do you think Allah will accept my repentance?" The Imam said, "If you repent, Allah will forgive." Umar ibn Sa'd drew closer to the camp of Aba Abdullah and ordered the bearer of the flag to move forward. He then took an arrow and placed it in his arch and released it in the direction of the Imam's camp and said, "Bear witness for me with the Emir that I was the first to shoot." The arrows then followed like rain, causing injuries among the companions of Imam al-Husayn's camp. Aba Abdullah said to them, "Qumu rahimakumullah ila al-mawt الذي لا بد منه فإن هذه السهام رسل القوم إليكم. My companions rise to the certain death. May Allah have mercy on you. The arrows are the messengers of your enemies to you. The companions waged a battle and fought for an hour or so. When the dust settled, there were 50 dead. When Aba Abdullah al-Hussein saw the sight, he said, Allah's wrath was on the Jews. Allah's wrath on the Jews was great because they claimed he had a son, and on the Christians when they made him one of the Trinity, and on the people who were unanimous in the agreement to kill the son of their prophet's daughter. By Allah, I am not willing to give up until I meet Allah drenched in my blood. He then shouted, Ala hal min nasirin yunsuruna, Ala hal min mu'inin yu'inuna, ألا هل من ذاب يذب عن حرم رسول الله. Is there no one who can come to our rescue? Is there no one to protect the sanctity of the Prophet's family? When the woman heard his plea, they began to cry. One by one, the companions of Aba Abdullah asked for permission to enter the battlefield to fight the enemy, bidding him farewell. Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi attacked the enemy troops, killing over 40 of them. When his horse got wounded, he fought them on foot until he fell to the ground. Aba Abdullah rushed to him. He removed the blood and the sand from his face. Congratulations, O Hur. You are a free man, just like your mother named you. Then Muslim ibn Awsaja came out. He assaulted the enemy and fought very bravely. Al-Amr ibn Al-Hajjaj, along with his troops, counterattacked the camp of Aba Abdullah. When the two forces clashed and the dust settled, Muslim ibn Awsaja was found fallen but still alive. Aba Abdullah and Habib ibn Madahir rushed to him. The Imam said to him, May Allah have mercy on you, O Muslim. Habib said, I am very sorry to see you in this state. You are entering paradise, O Muslim. If I wasn't absolutely sure that I will follow your footsteps, I would have asked you to give me your last will. Muslim said, Yes, my will is to take care of this man, pointing to Aba Abdullah. Sacrifice the last breath you have for him. Habib told him, Rest assured that I will, O Muslim. Among those who remained alive at this stage was Wahab al-Kalbi, who came to Karbala with his mother and wife. His mother urged him to do his best in the battlefield, but his wife did not want him to go as they were newlyweds. Nevertheless, he entered the battlefield, killing some and wounding others. He came back at the sound of his wife's voice. He asked her, what did she want? She said to him, O Wahab, fight until the last minute. Do not return alive. Wahab found that it was strange, since she didn't want him to fight earlier. Now you are urging me to fight, he said to his wife. She said to him, Do not blame me, Wahab. I can't help it. The shouts of Imam al-Hussein saying, Is there no one to help us, has wounded my heart. Wahab went back to the battlefield, killing about 19 horsemen and 12 infantry troopers. He lost both his arms and was killed in the battle. His wife walked towards his body and sat near his head, wiping the blood away and saying, Congratulations, for you are guaranteed a place in heaven. I pray to the Almighty to bestow it on me, to make me join you. Shimr, who was around, dispatched his servant to kill her. He dealt a fatal blow to her head and she died immediately. After praying the noon prayers, John, the servant of Abu Dhar, approached Aba Abdullah, asking for permission to fight. The Imam told him that he doesn't need to fight and that he can leave the battle. all. John began to cry. He told the Imam, "At times of comfort I was with you, but at times of hardship I abandon you. Never, I will fight with you until my blood mixes with your blood." John entered and fought very bravely until he fell and called for the Imam. Aba Abdullah wept over him, and he put his cheek on the cheek of John, a gesture of love and honor like he will eventually do for Ali al-Akbar. Once all of the companions had passed away, the family of Aba Abdullah got ready for battle. The first to come forward was Ali al-Akbar, the flower of Hussein's heart and his oldest son. When Ali asked for permission from his father, Aba Abdullah could not hold back his tears. He looked to Umar ibn Sa'd and said, "O Umar, may Allah bereave you of your family the same way you bereaved me of mine. May Allah send someone to kill you on your bed." Then he looked to the sky and said, "O Allah, bear witness on these people. The most similar youth to the Prophet has come out to meet them. O Allah, deprive them from the riches of the land. Divide them and bring your wrath upon them." Ali al-Akbar entered the battle, killing tens of the troops while he recited, "Ana Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali, nahnu wa bayt Allah awla bin Nabi, wallah ma yahkumu fina ibn al-Da'i, at'anukum bil-rumh hatta yanthani, adribukum bil-sayf ahmi an abi, darba ghulam hashimi alawi." "I am Ali, the son of Hussein, the son of Ali. We are by the house of God more worthy of the Prophet. By Allah, the son of the impostor will not rule over us. I will stab you with the spear until it breaks. I will stab you with my sword to defend my father, the strike of a young Hashemite Alawi." Due to the immense thirst he felt and the pain from the scorching sun, he came back to the camp of his father, asking his father for water. Aba Abdullah told him that he is thirstier than his son, and assured him that Rasulullah will be the first to quench his thirst. Ali went back fighting with greater fierce. It was as if his grandfather Imam Ali was on the battlefield. Eventually, Murr ibn Munqidh approached him, and he dealt a blow to Ali's back and then his head, causing him to fall from his horse, according to some narrations. And to other narrations, he remained on his horse not being able to see the blood covering his eyes. It took Ali al-Akbar near the enemy, and the enemy began to cut his limbs into pieces. Ali al-Akbar would cry out and his last farewell, "Ya Aba Abdullah, Ya Abata alayka minni salam." "Farewell, O my father, here is my grandfather Rasulullah, whose cup I have drank from. Never again will I be thirsty." And he says that there will be a cup waiting for you. Hurry to come to us, Ya Hussein. Imam al-Hussein rushed to him, seeing what is remaining from his son Ali. He put his cheek on Ali's cheek. He put his chest on the chest of Ali. And he began to say, "My son, Waladi Ali, may Allah kill those who killed you. What audacity have they shown towards the most merciful and the sanctity of the Messenger of Allah." Tears began to fill his eyes as he continued to say, "Waladi Ali ala dunya ba'daka al-afa." "My son Ali, after your loss, what's this life even worth? You have now departed from the sorrow and grief of this world, but your father remains to endure the sorrow and grief." The turn was now for the 14-year-old Qasim, the son of Imam al-Hassan. Imam al-Hussein, when Qasim first asked for permission, refused, since Qasim was the only memory remaining from his brother. Qasim Muslim brought a letter from a will to his uncle Hussein from his father, urging him to allow his son to fight. When Abu Abdullah seen this, he began to cry and weep as he embraced the young Qasim, and eventually he would give him permission to go out and fight. Qasim fought very bravely. As he went towards the battlefield, he would say, إن تنكروني فأنا نجل الحسن سبط النبي المصطفى والمؤتمن هذا حسين كالأسير المرتهن بين أناس لا سقوا صوب المزون. If you do not know me, I am the son of Hassan, the grandson of the chosen and trusted prophet, and this is Hussein, like a ransomed captive amongst cursed people. May the sky never rain its mercy upon them. Qasim fought valiantly until one of his sandals snapped as he bent down to fix it. Amr ibn Sa'd al-Asadi hit him with his sword. Aba Abdullah rushed towards the body of Qasim, crying over him, saying in a very sad voice, by Allah, it saddens your uncle that you call him while he cannot answer you, or that he answers you but he cannot help you, or that he helps you but his help doesn't suffice you. Away with the people who have killed you. Who is their adversary on the day of judgment other than your grandfather and father? By Allah, this day our voice is opposed by many and supported by a few. After that, the Imam carried the body of Qasim back towards the camps, and he placed him near the body of his son Ali al-Akbar. He raised his eyes to the heavens and recited a prayer against the enemies for all that they've committed. When al-Abbas saw the death toll rising, he stood up and ordered his brothers Abdullah, Ja'far, and Uthman to enter the battlefield and fight one by one. One by one, his brothers fought and were killed. It was now time for the flag bearer himself, Abbas, to intervene. He came towards his brother Aba Abdullah, seeking permission to go fight. Aba Abdullah did not want to lose Abbas. Tears filled the eyes of Imam al-Hussein, and he said, Ya akhi anta hamilu liwa'i. O brother, you are the bearer of my flag. If you die, my entire army will collapse and my enemies will rejoice. Abbas replied, I am tired of these hypocrites. I cannot stand the sounds of the children crying out of thirst, al-atash. The sounds of thirst is killing me. I want to seek my revenge from these hypocrites. When Aba Abdullah al-Hussein saw al-Abbas adamant about fighting, he said to him, my brother, go and seek some water for these children. Al-Abbas immediately mounted his horse. He took the skin with the water skin with him and headed towards the river, cutting through the enemy lines. He was surrounded by some 4,000 troops who shot at him with their arrows, but he did not fear their multitudes. The standard hoisted over his head, the banner of glorification of Aba Abdullah's army waving and fluttering in the sky. He started attacking them and causing them to flee in front of him, and he managed to reach the water line of the river with fortitude. As soon as he reached the river, he grabbed a handful of water to drink, but then remembered the thirst of his brother Hussein. He dropped the water immediately. He couldn't drink while he remembered Hussein and the children were thirsty. He began to recite to himself, Ya nafsu min ba'd al-Husayn huni, وبعده لا كنت أن تكوني. هذا حسين وارد المنون وتشربين بارد المعين. تالله ما هذا فعال ديني ولا فعال صادق اليقين. Oh self, humble yourself before your master Hussein. As after Hussein, it matters not whether you be or not. This is Hussein approaching death, and you dare drink sweet water. By Allah, this is not an act of my faith, nor an act of a man of true certainty. He filled his canteen and mounted his horse again, and headed towards the camp of Abu Abdullah. All of a sudden, the enemy troops surrounded him from every direction. They attacked him altogether. Zayd ibn al-Raqqad and Hakim ibn al-Tufayl were hiding behind a tree, waiting for Abbas to approach so they could ambush him. Zayd hit Abbas on his right arm, severing it for him. As Abbas began to recite, Wallahi in qata'tumu yamini, inni uhami abadan an dini, wa an imam al-sadiq al-yaqini, sibtu al-Nabi al-Tahir al-Amini. By Allah, if you have severed my right arm, I will continue to defend my faith and protect an imam of true certainty, the grandson of the pure and trusted prophet. He grabbed the sword in his left arm until al-Hakim ibn al-Tufayl came out and ambushed him, severing his left arm. Al-Abbas began to recite, Ya nafs la takhshay min al-kuffar, وأبشري برحمة الجبار مع النبي السيد المختار مع جملة السادات والأطهار. قد قطعوا ببغيهم يساري فأصلهم يا رب حر النار. O self, do not fear this band of disbelievers and rejoice for the mercy of the Almighty alongside our master the chosen prophet, along with the other noble and pure souls. They have severed my left arm by their wretchedness. Oh Allah, deliver to them a blazing hell. He managed to grab the canteen with his teeth, staying without his two arms. He headed towards the camp, but the enemy did not give him a chance to make it with the water. They rained upon him arrows. As Umar ibn Sa'd would say to his members, shoot Al-Abbas, strike the canteen with your arrows, for if the water reached Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, we would all perish. They rained upon him with arrows, one striking his eye, another striking the canteen, and a third falling in his chest. As it fell, Al-Abbas was now hopeless to take the water back to the children of Abu Abdullah. When the container fell, it was over. Al-Abbas stopped going towards the camp. Instead, he stood in his spot according to narrations. All of a sudden, one of the wicked troops came towards Al-Abbas and struck him with a pole on his head, causing Abu al-Fadl to fall on the ground, calling his brother for aid. As-salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah, akhi ya Hussein, adrik akhak, my brother Abu Abdullah, may the peace of Allah be upon you. I have fallen to the ground, come and aid your brother. When a horseman usually falls towards the ground, he uses his hands to break the fall. But Al-Abbas fell without any hands as the arrows went deeper into his body. Al-Hussein rushed towards him, causing the enemy troops to flee. When Imam Al-Hussein approached him, he first saw the canteen, and he saw the flag on the ground. Then he saw the two arms of Al-Abbas scattered on the battlefield. Al-Abbas was lying on the ground, an arrow embedded in his eye and an arrow in his chest. The Imam began to cry, Al-An inkasara zahri wa qallat hilati وشمت بي عدوي. Abbas, my back is now broken after your loss. Oh Abbas, my enemy has rejoiced over your death. Ya Abbas, there is no one to support me any longer. Who will safeguard the daughters of Rasulullah after you, Ya Abbas? Aba Abdullah al-Hussein urged Abbas to get up so that he may take him back towards the camp. Al-Abbas refused. He had promised the children to get them water. He could not go back towards the camp empty-handed. After a few moments, Al-Abbas died in the lap of his brother Imam al-Hussein. Imam al-Hussein was seen walking back towards the camp after that alone, despondent, broken, sorrowful, weeping and wiping his tears with his shirt sleeves. Aba Abdullah, as he returned, was approached by Sukaina, who would ask him about her uncle Abbas. What will he tell this young child who is awaiting her uncle, the Umar of Banu Hashim? He told her, "Oh my dear Sukaina, your uncle has been killed." Zainab overheard him and screamed, "What a loss over Al-Abbas." As the women joined, they began weeping and crying, reciting Wa Akhah Wa Abbasa. After the martyrdom of Al-Abbas, Imam al-Hussein looked around and he did not see anyone who would be able to aid him. He saw his companions and family members slaughtered like sacrificial lambs, while the wails of the widows and the cries of the orphans ringing in his ears. He cried out, هَلْ مِنْ ذَابٍ يَذُبُّ عَنْ حُرَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ هَلْ مِنْ مُوَحِّدٍ يَخَافُ اللَّهَ فِينَا هَلْ مِنْ مُغِيثٍ يَرْجُ يرجو الله في إغاثتنا هل من معين يرجو ما عند الله في إعانتنا. Is there a defender who will defend the sanctity of the family of Rasulullah? Is there a monotheist who fears Allah and will stand with us? Is there a helper who will seek Allah by helping us? Is there an aid who will seek the rewards of Allah by aiding us? Imam al-Hussein called for the mantle of the Messenger of Allah, and he cloaked himself with it. He then wore his blessed armor, carried his sword, and rode his horse fully dressed in an iron armor. He approached one of his sisters, saying to her, "Take care of yourself, sister. I am stepping towards the battle to fight these evil enemies of Allah." It is narrated that Sukaina ran to him wailing. And Sukaina was one that Imam al-Hussein would love very dearly. He hugged her, he wiped her tears and began to console her. Then the Imam wanted to walk out of the tent, but Sayyidah Zainab rushed to him and said, "Wait, oh brother, stay just a bit, Ya Aba Abdullah, so we can bid you farewell, for this might be the last time we will meet. Wait here, oh brother, before you rush towards your death." She began to kiss his hands as he was surrounded by the rest of the women. Imam al-Hussein said to one of his sisters, "Bring me an old piece of cloth so that no one would rob me of my clothes." The voices of the women rose in cries. He took a piece of worn out clothing and ripped it, and he wore it under his clothes. Then Aba Abdullah asked for his infant. He said to them, "Hand me my infant son so I can bid him farewell." Lady Zainab came to him with his son Abdullah. He took him in his arms and began to kiss him, saying, "May Allah distance these people from his mercy, as their adversary on the day of judgment will be your grandfather, Al-Muhammad Al-Mustafa." He took the infant and approached approached the enemy, asking them to give him some water. He said to them, O people, if I fight you and you fight me, what is the crime of this child that you deny him water? Another narration stated, he told them, if you don't have mercy on me, then at least have mercy on the child. Some of them began to weep and began to cry, urging the enemies to give him water. Umar ibn Sa'd feared that there would be discord in his ranks. He turned to Harmala bin Kahil and he told him, O Harmala, end these people's dispute. Harmala aimed his arrow at the young boy's neck, who Aba Abdullah was carrying. The arrow struck the infant and severed his jugular vein. As he was in his father's arms, he began to squirm with pain, fluttering like a wounded bird. The blood flowed from his veins, and Aba Abdullah al-Hussein took the blood in his hands and he threw a handful of blood towards the sky. Imam al-Baqir narrates, not a drop of that blood fell to the earth. If a single drop had touched the earth, God's punishment would have befell the enemy's army. Then Aba Abdullah said, هون ما نزل بي أنه بعين الله تعالى. What has befallen me is only ease, because it is all in the eyes of Allah. Imam al-Hussein then came down from his horse. He dug a grave with the sheath of his sword and buried the child covered in dust and blood. Then Aba Abdullah, he turned towards the enemy and he said to them, Ya waylakum, ala ma tuqatiluni, ala haqqin taraktuhu, am ala sunnatin ghayartuha, am ala shari'atin baddaltuha. Woe to you, why do you fight me for a truth that I have abandoned, or for a tradition that I have replaced, or for a divine ruling that I have changed? They told him, بَلْ نُقَاتِلُكَ بُغْضًا مِنَّا لِأَبِيكَ وَمَا فَعَلَ بِأَشْيَاخِنَا يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ وَحُنَيْنٍ. We fight you out of hatred for your father and for what he did to our forefathers on the days of Badr and Hunayn. Upon hearing this, Aba Abdullah began to weep. He looked to his left and to his right, وجعل ينظر يمينا وشمالا فلم يرى أحدا من أنصاره. He did not find any of his companions, as they all had been slaughtered. He began to recite, يا مسلم ابن عقيل ويا هان ابن عروة يا حبيب ابن مظاهر ويا زهير ابن القين يا أبطال الصفا ويا فرسان الهيجاء ما لي أناديكم فلا تجيبون وأدعوكم فلا تسمعون أأنتم نيام أرجوكم تنتبهون أم حالت مودتكم عن إمامكم فلا تنصروه هذه نساء الرسول لفقدكم قد علاهن النحول فقوموا عن نومتكم أيها الكرام وادفعوا عن حرم الرسول الطغاة اللئام ولكن صرعكم ريب المنون وغدر بكم الدهر الخون وإلا لما كنتم عن نصرتي تقصرون ولا عن دعوتي تحتجبون فها نحن عليكم مفتجعون وبكم لاحقون فإنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. He said, O Muslim ibn Aqil, او هان ابن عروة او حبيب ابن مظاهر او زهير ابن القين او heroes in times of peace او knights in times of war why is it that I call you and you do not answer why do I cry out to you and you do not listen if you are asleep please awaken as your love for your imam been shaken so that you are not aiding him these are the women of the family of the messenger of Allah as they are weakened by your absence wake up from your slumber O most honorable of men repel these evil tyrants away from the family of the messenger of Allah alas by God the calamities of the time have beaten you as this treacherous age has betrayed you otherwise you would not fall short in aiding me you would not ignore my cause we are bereaved at your loss and will soon follow you indeed we are of God and to him we shall return The Imam's call for help was to no avail. Then he went into the tent of his son Zainul Abidin. As he began to ask him, O my dear father, where is Habib? He told him, O my dear son, Habib has been killed. He asked him about Muslim, and he received the same response. He asked him about Ali al-Akbar. He asked about Qasim. He told them, my dear son, they have all been killed. Then he asked him, my dear father, مَا لِي أَرَاكَ وَحْدَكَ أَيْنَ عَمِّي قَمَرُ الْعَشِيرَةِ Why is it that I find you alone, Ya Hussein? Where is your backbone, Al-Abbas? For he would never separate from you, my father. He told him, my dear son, they have killed your uncle, Abbas. Imam Zainul Abidin, who was stricken by a stomach illness, came out of his tent. He was leaning on a walking stick and dragging his sword, as he could not carry it due to his illness. Zainab was behind him calling, telling him, come back, my son. He said, Ya Ammata, Dharini Uqatil Bayna Yaday Ibn Binti Rasulillah. Oh, my dear aunt, leave me to fight before the son of the daughter of the messenger of Allah. فصاح الحسين الحسين called upon Zainab restrain him so that the earth is not deprived of the lineage of the family of Muhammad. Zainab took him back to his bed. Imam al-Hussein stood and recited the verses of poetry in praise of his grandfather the prophet and his father Ali ibn Abi Talib and his mother Lady Fatima. He then charged at the enemy's right flank saying الموت أولى من ركوب العار والعار أولى من دخول النار والله من هذا وهذا جاري Death is better than living in humiliation and humiliation is better than entering hellfire but God is my refuge from both these ills. He charged at the enemy's left flank saying أنا الحسين بن علي أليت ألا أنثني أحمي عيالات أبي أمضي على دين النبي I am Hussein ibn Ali I have sworn not to bend to my enemies I will protect the family of my father I will continue on the religion of the Prophet of Allah Imam al-Hussein then called the enemy to duel he continued to defend defeat any warrior who would approach him, until he killed a great number of them. The enemy then cut him off from his camp, as Imam al-Hussein called out, وَيْحَكُمْ يَا شِيعَةَ آلَ أَبِي صُفْيَانَ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ دِينَ وَكُنْتُمْ لَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَعَادَ فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ وَارْجَعُوا إِلَى أَحْسَابِكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ عُرُبَةً كَمَا تَزْعَمُونَ Woe to you, O followers of Abu Sufyan's family, if you have no religion and you do not fear the resurrection, then at least be free in this world of yours. Return to your roots if you are Arabs as you claim. فناداه الشمر ما تقول يا حسين الشمر said to him, what is it you are saying, O حسين أبا عبد الله said to him, أقول أنا الذي أقاتلكم وتقاتلوني والنساء ليس عليهن جناح فامنعوا عتاتكم وطغاتكم وجهالكم عن التعرض لحرمي ما دمت حيا I say that I am the one fighting you and you are fighting me. The women have committed no crime. Forbid your defiant, savage and ignorant soldiers from attacking my family so long as I live. فقال له الشمر لك ذلك يا ابن فاطمة الشمر said to him, you shall have that, O son of Fatima. الشمر called out towards his soldiers, leave the man's family and attack him only. The enemies charged at him while he continued to seek a drink of water. Whenever he approached the Euphrates on his horse, the enemy would charge at him and repel him from the river. Al-Husayn then charged at one of the enemies, Al-A'war and Amr ibn al-Hajjaj, who were commanding 4,000 men. He scrambled their troops and rode his horse into the Euphrates. When the horse lowered its head to drink, Al-Husayn said to him, you are thirsty and I am thirsty. I will not drink until you do. Displaying his eloquent manners, the horse raised its head as if it had understood the words of Hussein. ولما مد الحسين يده يده فغرف من الماء غرفة ليشرب ناداه رجل من القوم يا أبا عبد الله أتلتذ بالماء يا حسين أتلتذ بالماء يا حسين وقد هتكت حرمك When Imam al-Hussein took a handful of water to drink, and enemy soldiers called out to him, Ya Aba Abdullah, do you savor a drink of water while your women and your family are being attacked? He threw the water in his hand and charged at the enemy, repelling them from his way. When he got towards the camp, he saw that the tents were safe and knew that the enemy had deceived him. Imam al-Hussein then bid farewell to his family one final time, instructing them to remain patient and perseverant. He said to them, استعدوا للبلاء واعلموا أن الله تعالى حاميكم وحافظكم وسينجيكم من شر الأعداء ويجعل عاقبة أمركم إلى خير Be ready for the tribulation Know that Allah the Almighty will guard and protect you Saving you from the evils of the enemy He will deliver you to a great end He will punish your enemy with all kinds of punishments He will reward you for this trial with all kinds of blessings and honors So do not complain and do not say with your tongues What would reduce of your status Imam al-Husayn then cried out, Ya Umm Kalthum, wa ya Zainab, wa ya Sakina, wa ya Ruqayya, alaykunna minni salam, fahadha akhiru al-ijtima' wa qad qaraba minkunna al-iftija'. O Umm Kulthum, O Zainab, O Sukayna, O Ruqayya, I bid you farewell, for this is our last meeting. You will soon be grieving. He then asked about his daughter Sukayna. He was told she is in her tents crying. He went to her and Sukayna said to him, Father, it is as if you have submitted to death. Imam al-Husayn said to her, lines that truly break the heart. وَكَيْفَ لَا يَسْتَسْلِمُ إِلَى الْمَوْتِ مَنْ لَا نَاصِرَ لَهُ وَلَا مُعِينَ. How can one who does not have a helper nor an aid not submit to death? She said to him, then return us to the city of our grandfather. He told her, O my daughter, if there was any way for me to fulfill your wish, I surely would have. Sukayna began to cry and began to wail. Imam al-Husayn hugged her as he began to embrace her, bidding his beloved daughter goodbye. As this was happening, he was getting ready to go towards the battlefield. Sayyida Zainab came out to him. She told him, my brother, there is a trust that I have to perform. She told him, get off your horse. He got off his horse as Zainab began to kiss his chest and kiss his neck. As for his chest, it will be trampled by the horses. And as for the neck, you all know very well what will happen to that blessed neck of Hussein. This is the trust of my mother Fatima al-Zahra. I have finally given the trust. While the Imam was busy bidding farewell to his family, Umar ibn Sa'd said to his soldiers, woe to you, attack him while he is preoccupied with himself and his family. By Allah, if he were to turn to you, he would scatter you so that you would not know your right flank from your left. They attacked him, pelting him with arrows that ripped through the tents. Some arrows ripped through the veils of the women. They began to cry, startled and terrified. They rushed to Imam al-Husayn's tent to see what he will do. The enemies attacked Imam al-Husayn from every direction. He charged at them as they charged at him. He would try to charge toward the river to get a drink, but whenever his horse approached the Euphrates, the enemies would charge at him and repel him from the river. He charged at them like an angered lion. He would strike each man once with his sword and defeat him, all while arrows rained down on him from every direction, striking him in his chest and his neck, as he would say, Ya Ummat al-Su, bi'sa ma khalaftum Muhammad fi itrati, O nation of misfortune, how wrongly you have treated Muhammad's family after his passing. He then returned to his base, continuously saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-Aliyy al-Azim. There is no power or authority save from Allah, the Most High and Glorious. Seeing how the Imam was able to kill many of their men, Shimr approached Umar ibn Sa'd. He said to him, O commander, this man will kill us all if we continue to duel him one-on-one. Ibn Sa'd asked, so what should we do? Al-Shimr replied, we should split against him into three divisions. One to pelt him with arrows and bolts, one to strike him with swords and spears, and one to attack him with fire and stones. Thus we will soon defeat him. They began to pelt him with their arrows, stab him with their spears, and strike him with their arrows, until Aba Abdullah was overcome with their wounds. The infantrymen charged at him from the left and from the right. He charged at his enemies at the right side and fought them until he repelled them. He charged at his enemies at the left and fought them until he repelled them. He continued to fight until he killed a great number of them. Umar ibn Sa'd said, "Hadha ibn Anza' al-Batin, hadha ibn Qattal al-Arab. احملوا عليه من كل جانب ومكان فأتته 4,000 نبلة وتيود you know who you are fighting. This is the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is the son of the killer of the Arabs. Charged at him at once from every direction. Umar ibn Sa'd's army shot at Imam al-Hussein with about 4,000 arrows. They attacked the Imam as the Imam continued to fight. As he had been wounded severely, he became too weak to fight, and he stopped to rest. As he was resting, one of the enemies of Allah, Abu al-Hutuf al-Jufi, threw a rock that hit him in his forehead. The blood gushed on his face and beard. He said, "Allahumma qad tara ma ana fih min ibadika haula al-usad. Allahumma fa'ahsihim adada waqtulhum badada wa la tadhur ala wajh al-ard minhum ahada." Oh Allah, you see what I suffer at the hands of your disobedient servants. Oh Allah, tally their number, kill them in small groups, do not leave a single one of them on this earth, and do not ever forgive their misdeeds. As he took a piece of his clothes to wipe his forehead, a sharp poison 3-pronged arrow struck him in his chest. As he began to say, "Bismillah wa billah wa ala millati Rasulillah," in the name of Allah, I rely on God and follow the religion of the messenger. He then raised his head to the heavens and said, "Oh Allah, you surely know that they are killing a man while knowing that there is no son of a prophet on the face of the earth but him." He took the arrow and drew it out from his back while his blood flowed like a fountain. He put his hand on the wound until it was filled with blood. Then he threw the blood towards the heavens, repeating, "Hawana ma nazala bi annahu bi'ayn Allah." Everything that befell me is easy, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the witness. Not a drop of it fell back to the earth. He then placed his hand on the wound again. Was his hand was filled with blood, he took it and stained his beard and his head, saying, "Hakadha akun hatta alqa jaddi Muhammad wa ana mukhadhabun bidami wa aqulu ya rasul Allah qatalani fulan wa fulan." By Allah, this is how I shall meet my grandfather Muhammad, stained in my own blood. I will say, "O messenger of Allah, I was killed by so and so due to the attacks. The Imam was severely wounded. Some narrations state that he fell off his horse. The enemy soldiers would come to him, but they would soon retreat, hating to meet Allah with the blood of Hussein on their hands. Soon a man named Malik ibn Nasr came towards Aba Abdullah, and he struck him on his head, tearing his headpiece into two and filling it with blood. The narrations say that he threw his headpiece and he wore a skull cap, wearing a turban over it. At this point, he had become weary and overburdened by his wounds. It is narrated at this time, Al-Abdullah al-Azghar, the son of Imam al-Hassan, would come out as Imam al-Hussein was standing there, sitting on the ground. One of his nephews came out to aid his uncle, but he would soon be killed by Harmala bin Kahil. Imam al-Hussein, unconscious with the soldiers surrounding him for 3 hours, not knowing whether he is dead or he is alive. Imam al-Sadiq says, there was about 1,000 wounds on the body of Abu Abdullah. When one of them asked him, Ya Imam al-Sadiq, how is that possible? He said to them, each wound had a wound on top of it on the body of Hussein. Imam al-Hussein, laying on the ground for 3 hours, stained with his own blood, he would say, Sabran ala qadaik, la ilaha siwa, la ilaha siwak, ya ghiath al-mustaghithin, patience with your judgment, there is no God but you, O aid of whoever asks for your aid. In this state, he asked for some water, but the cursed Shimmer said to him, O Hussein, you will not taste it. Ya Hussein, you will not taste it until you reach hellfire. Then another one said to him, يا حسين ألا ترى الفرات كأنه بطون الحيات فلا تشرب منه حتى تموت عطشان. Oh Hussein, do you not see the Euphrates flowing like the belly of a snake? You will not drink of it until you die of thirst. It is me, is it me, he replied, is it me who will reach the scorching fire of hell and drink its boiling waters? No, I will reach my grandfather Muhammad al-Mustafa, and I will live with him in paradise, in the abode of the truthfulness, with an omnipotent king, and drink its water. I will complain to him of how you transgressed against me and what you had done to me. They became furious with his words as he began to recite, وجداه ومحمدا وأبا القاسم وأبتا وعليا وحسنا وحمزته وعقيلا وعباسا وعطشا وغوثا وقلة آصرا. أقتل مظلوما وجدي المصطفى؟ أذبح عطشانا وأبي المرتضى؟ أترك مهتوكا وأمي فاطمة الزهراء؟ Oh my grandfather, oh Muhammad, oh أبا القاسم, oh father, oh علي, oh حسن, oh جعفر, oh حمزة, oh عقيل, oh عباس, how strong is my thirst, who will come to my aid? Oh, how few are my supporters at this time. Will I be oppressed and killed while my grandfather is Muhammad al-Mustafa? Will I be slaughtered thirsty while my father is Ali al-Murtada? Will I be left massacred while my mother is Fatima al-Zahra? As Imam al-Hussein was lying on the ground, it's as if the enemy had wished to kill him. If they wished to kill him, they could have, but each tribe would rely on the other and refuse to step forward. As a Shimmer said to them, why do you just stand there? What are you waiting for? Why don't you kill the man when he has been overburdened by wounds and arrows? walls charged at him. One group came towards Abu Abdullah. They began to strike him with their swords, another with their spears, a third with their arrows, and the final with their rocks. As Imam al-Sadiq said, every wound came on top of a wound, every stab on top of a stab. One of the enemies of Allah struck him on his left shoulder, as another one shot him with an arrow in his jaw. Al-Husayn ibn Numayr shot him in his mouth. Sinan ibn Anas stabbed him in his right shoulder blade and his ribs. Then they shot him with an arrow in his neck and throat. Salih ibn Wahab stabbed him in his side. Lady Zainab would come out calling to Umar ibn Sa'd, "Ya Umar ibn Sa'd, will Aba Abdullah al-Husayn be killed while you look on?" He did not answer her. So she called out, "Woe to you! Is there no Muslim amongst you? وَيْحَكُمْ أَمَا فِيكُمْ مُسْلِمْ." 40 men approached Aba Abdullah, attempting to sever his noble head, all while Umar ibn Sa'd would say, "Woe to you, finish him quickly." The first to approach him was Shibth ibn Rib'i, carrying a sword. He came close to sever the head, but when Al-Husayn opened his eyes, Shibth ibn Rib'i threw down the sword and ran away, saying, "Woe to you, Ibn Sa'd, you wish to claim innocence from the blood and murder of Husayn, while I would be the one responsible for it. God forbid that I should meet him with your blood on my hands, Ya Husayn." Sinan ibn Anas stepped forward and said to Shibth, "May your mother mourn you and your tribe grieve for you if you refuse to kill him." Shibth ibn Rib'i said, "Woe to you, he opened his eyes when I drew near, and they looked like the eyes of the messenger of Rasul, the messenger of Allah. Shame did not allow me to kill a man who looked like the messenger of Allah." Sinan said, "Woe to you, give me the sword, for I am more deserving of the honor to kill him." He took the sword, hoping to sever Al-Husayn's head. But when Aba Abdullah looked at him, Sinan began to shake as the sword fell from his hand. And he ran off, saying, "God forbid that I should meet him with your blood on my hands, Ya Husayn." Shimr then approached Sinan, and he said, "May your mother mourn you. Why have you returned without killing him?" He replied, "Woe to you, he opened his eyes when I drew near, so I remembered the valor of his father and was too overcome to kill him." Shimr said, "Woe to you, what a coward in the midst of battle. Give me the sword, for by no one is more deserving of Al-Husayn's blood. I will kill him whether he is the like of Mustafa or he is the like of Ali al-Murtada." He took the sword from Sinan's hand and he went towards Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. عظم الله لك الأجر يا صاحب الزمان، عظم الله لكم الأجر يا مؤمنون. الشمر went towards Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. He sat on the chest of Aba Abdullah, the chest which Zainab had just kissed, and he said to him, "Do not think that I am like the ones who came to you before, for I will not hesitate to kill you, O Husayn." "Woe to you," he said to him, "who are you? You have surely sat on a great place which the Prophet would kiss. Do you know who I am?" فقال له والشمر. Yes, I know exactly who you are. أنت الحسين وأبوك المرتضى وأمك الزهراء وجدك المصطفى وجدتك خديجة الكبرى. He said to him, you are Hussein, your father is Ali المرتضى, your mother is الزهراء, your grandfather is المصطفى, and your grandfather and your grandmother is خديجة الكبرى. Then Imam Hussein said to him, woe to you, if you know me, then why would you kill me? Shimr said to him, by killing you, I wish to earn the prize of Yazid. Imam al-Hussein said to him, which is more preferable to you? The intercession of my grandfather, the messenger of Allah, or the prize of Yazid? Shimr replied, a single coin from the prize of Yazid is more preferable to me than the intercession of your father and grandfather. And then here comes the tragedy, O believers. As Shimr was sitting on the chest of the Imam, he began to curse Imam al-Hussein, and he began to kick him. He took hold of the Imam's head, he lifted his sword, and he hit the Imam 12 times on his neck. Shimr severed the head of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. He severed that from the back. Some narrations say that Sayyidah Zainab seen this from the hill. As Shimr severed the head and hoisted it on a spear, the army began to cry out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, thinking they are victorious, not knowing that the wrath of Allah will soon descend upon them. The heavens and the earth began weeping for Aba Abdullah, as the women of Al-Muhammad wept over him. Without a supporter or a protector, they are left. Wa Husayna, wa Imama, wa Shahida, wa Mazluma. ألا لعنة الله على قوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله الحسين وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Zainab has fallen, Hussein's back broken. Oh dear uncle, you are our chosen. Has the flag fallen? And I yell, Baba, Abbas and Hussein. No need for water, I want my uncle. You left with two arms, returned with no arms, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas. You left with my wish to bring us water, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas. But now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone, Abbas, Ya Abbas. But now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone, Abbas. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Why is he upon my father's chest? I see my father with Arrow's mother. Where is his brother? And I yell, Baba, Abbas and Hussein, where have they gone? Oh, I want my uncle. They've chained me up to a camel's back, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas. Why are their bodies laying on these sands, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas? Oh, now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone, Abbas, Ya Abbas. Oh, now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone, Abbas. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Do they not know that is the neck that our prophet kissed? Heaven's final bliss. Heaven's final bliss I see from above. So I yell, Baba, Abbas and Hussein, where have they gone? Oh, I want my uncle. They ripped my earrings right off my ears, Ya Abbas, Ya. They cut his fingers to steal a ring, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas. Oh, now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone, Abbas, Ya. Oh, now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone, Abbas. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Do they not know that This is the son of Ali and Zahra, the Prince of Heaven. Oh, the oppression and Dayal Baba, Abbas and Hussein, where have they gone? Oh, I want my uncle, I wait for the day. Al-Quds is yours, Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla. I wait for the day, justice is served, Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla. I ask for you to come in my life, Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla. I ask for you to come in my life, Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him? Abbas, our fallen moon, how do we bear to see him? Abbas, our fallen moon.
For the efforts that they made to participate in these circumstances, and for our sorrow and your sorrow and grief for the tragedy of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. Inshallah, now we will conclude our program with a recitation of Ziyarat Ashura after a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
بسم الله
الرحمن الرحيم الليل والنهار يا أبا عبد الله لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها ولعن الله أمة قتلتكم ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم ومن أشياعهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم يا أبا عبد الله إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة ولعن الله على زياد وعلى مروان ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة ولعن الله ابن مرجانة ولعن الله عمر بن سعد ولعن الله شمرا ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتالك بأبي أنت وأمي لقد عظم مصاحبك فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيها بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والآخرة يا أبا عبد الله إني أتغرب إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بمضالاتك وبالبراءة ممن قاتلك ونسب لك الحرب وبالبراءة ممن أسس أساس الظلم والجور عليكم وأبرأ إلى الله وإلى رسوله ممن أسس أساس ذلك وبنى عليه بنيانه وجرى في ظلمه وجوره عليكم وعلى أشيائكم بريت إلى الله وإليكم منهم وتقرب إلى الله ثم إليكم بمضالاتكم ومضالات وليكم وبالبراءة من أعدائكم والناصبين لكم الحرب وبالبراءة من أشيائهم وأتباعهم إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن والاكم وعدو لمن عاداكم فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة وأن يثبتني عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله وأن يرزقني طلب ثاري مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم وأسأل الله بحقكم وبالشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصابي بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبته مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام وفي جميع السماوات والأرض اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله من صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد اللهم إن هذا يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن آكلة الأكباد اللعين ابن اللعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد ابن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد العابدين. وهذا يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مرهاد بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعن منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا وأيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالمبالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم العن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم العن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني وابدأ به أولا ثم العن الثانية والثالثة والرابع. اللهم العن يزيد خامسا والعن عبيد الله بن زياد وابن مرجان وعمر بن سعد وشمرا وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم. الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود وثبتني قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام.